the show goes all started. Okay, so we're doing the Rambam, and we'll take up, I guess, the first problem, which is, I guess, in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Yud Aleph, Halachos Yud Aleph through Yud Aleph. Okay, so the Rambam in Yud Aleph sets down his rule, again, which is basically whether it's if you do a mitzvah, whether it's a chova or not a chova, if you do it an obligation or not, if you do it for yourself, then you say lasos, with a lamet. If you do it for others, then you say al. Okay, so that, and then he basically says, shows you all, sets in all the cases. Okay, so he's taught a lot of cases. And that's fine, so if you do a mitzvah for yourself, then you say la, because you were commanded, you commanded us to do so and so, and you are the person who was commanded, and you do it. But if it's someone else, then you say, oh, you commanded us on this thing that you personally weren't commanded. Okay? So there's no problem. I mean, if you just had that halakha, there wouldn't really be much that much to say. Okay. But then he says, and Yadalah is where it gets interesting, which is where he says that, Asa mitzvah lo u'acherim ke'achad, if you do the mitzvah for yourself and for others. So this naturally presents a problem. If you do it for yourself, you say le. If you do it for others, you say al. So here it's both for yourself and for others. So he says, if it's not a chova, right, not a chova means it's not obligatory, okay, then you work al. Okay, l'sigachim work al mitzvah erev. That point by erev, when you put down an erev to permit you to carry, all the people in the courtyard, so all the people who have one share one common courtyard, so if they want to carry in the courtyard, so then they have to make an error. It's not mandatory. So therefore, one guy puts the error for everybody. So if he's doing it for him and for everybody else, and it's not an obligation, therefore he says, how? But if it is an obligation, but if it's an obligation and you want to fulfill the mitzvah for yourself, to satisfy your obligation, and also to go for others, then you say Baruch Lassos. And that's why by shofar, you say Lishma Akol Shofar. But you're blowing shofar for yourself and for others. Okay. So again, the problem was, is that, what's kind of compromise is this? That since we know that you make brachos whether mitzvah is an obligation or not, and we know the principle is that if it's for yourself, you say Lish, and if it's for someone else, you say Al. I mean, yeah, right. So now the question should be, when you do it for yourself and for others, do you treat that as if it's for yourself? Do you treat that as if it's for others? Why should it matter whether it's chova or not? Why is it not, if it's obligation, then you say it's like you're doing it for yourself. But for others, if it's not obligation, then it's like you're doing it for others. What's the sense to that, that compromise, so to speak? Okay, so that's the problem. Any solutions?
I have like an approach, it's just not worked out.
Okay.
That, like when his original idea of whether you're doing it for yourself or someone else, right? So, that was like kind of like my starting point. Like, what's that distinction, you know?
Okay.
So, I was thinking that, so it could be that there's two possible, motivators for the Birkas Shavach of a Birkas HaMitzvah. One could be the fact that, like, you're, you know, personally gaining in perfection. That's like the identity of the activity you're about to engage in, is like a self-improvement act, if you will, okay? Versus, like, if you were to encounter anything else in the Bria, which reflects Chachmas Hashem. That's just encountering an institution of mitzvah. So when you're doing it for yourself, you say le, because it's referencing you and the fact that you're involved. The le references the doer, and that's the whole point, is that it's the shevach for yourself because of the benefit you're going to gain. Whereas when you're doing it for somebody else, yeah, maybe that there's a benefit you're going to be getting, but the prime description of your interaction with this action is simply encountering an institution of Chachma. So it's not appropriate to use the language of le. So when you're doing it for both, again, this is what I don't have exactly so clear, but when you're doing it for both, maybe you could say that there's, in other words, it has both identities now. It has the identity of its personal act of perfection, but it also has the identity of encountering the institution of Chachma. So it's not like, in other words, the premise of the question is like, what do you mean? Like, it is also for you, so just do that. But you can't, because one is not better than the other. It's simply different kiyume shevach. So you need some other factor to weigh in. So we then look to, well, is there any other way in which we can see that this is something that you're personally like benefiting from in terms of perfection? So if it's a chova, so then that like makes it more like a, like when you're doing it for yourself, because a chovah is something you have to do. It's not just like this abstract encounter with an institution, but like you have to do this. The fact that you are also doing it for someone else is then rendered more or less relevant, because the thing you encountered is obligatory in nature. Whereas if it's more of a reshus, yeah, it's true, like mezuzah you have to do once you're in that situation, but it still retains more of that like encounter dynamic as opposed to like imposing itself on you. And then it's okay to use al and move to that kind of shevach as opposed to the self improvement shevach.
Right, but in general, if a bracha is the name of chovah, if you do it for yourself, you make the thing. So you see, apparently, it's always self improvement.
Well, obviously, there will be a dimension of that. Like, you're right. In other words, the original case when you're just doing it for someone else, so it could be that it's a chovah, but the prime description of your relationship to that thing is as an encounter with an institution. It's true, its identity is one of a chova, but you're not obligated in it, you're doing it for someone else. So in other words, there's two kinds of shevach, that's basically what I'm saying. And I'm saying neither one is stronger or better than the other, they're just two different character types.
Right.
Again, I don't know if it's like perfectly worked out, but like that's the sense of it I get. I don't know.
Right. It's kind of though like a secondary explanation. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
It's like you're saying, basically, it's like we're caught at a crossroads and we have to make a decision. So let's kind of just go by which one's like a little better. Kind of, you know.
Well, is the dominant character of the encounter.
We have a crossroad, so therefore we have to like kind of find like a mevarer, like a decider.
Yeah, in terms of identifying which is the more appropriate shevach. In other words, both are present. It's not like you couldn't do either one. It's simply you're always going to want to give the most appropriate shevach, and based on the original criterion, there's no way to know what's the most appropriate shevach because both things are present.
Okay. I hear you. Anyone else?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was thinking similar lines, but I would just add that the main thing here is what's the how is the government starif to the system of mitzvos? Is it an accidental tziruf that clear when he's his only tziruf to the mitzvah is the fact that he's doing it. Like in terms of the gavra himself, there's nothing connecting him to the mitzvah except for the fact that he's doing it when he's doing it for someone else.
Right.
And then there's an intrinsic connection when the gavra actually has real chiyuv. Then there's an essential tziruf to the mitzvah. So then you don't make the general on mitzvahs in general, but actually on this you're mistarif to this mitzvah intrinsically. So you go directly. So you go. You make the bracha. You make the more direct bracha.
Right.
And then for the other thing. You have, so when it's a bunch of people, you're doing it for a bunch of people and for yourself, so really anyone could do it. And so there's really, really, so if it's not a, if it's not a chiyuv, then anyone could really do it. And again, the only thing that's mistarif you to the mitzvah is just the fact that you're doing it. Like anyone could do it, and it's not really a chiyuv. So it's an accidental tziruf. But then if there's a chiyuv, then someone did have to do it. So then by your doing it, you're no longer just mistarif through the maisa itself, but you're mistarif through by the fact that you're doing it, you're mistarif through the chiyuv, which is an essential, which is more essential.
Right. Okay, I hear you. It was Ken, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I hear ya. I'm thinking something similar to that. And, I'm gonna say it a little differently, but the move is similar. Anyone else? Okay, so I'm taking it like this, that in the bracha, in mitzvah you have two things. You have the tzivoy, the commandment, and then you have the asiyah, the action. And the Rambam's rule is that if, so to speak, there's a match up between the tzivoy and the asiyah, then you say less. What does it mean? God commanded us to do action X, and I'm doing action X. That's appropriate. Now, you say le when the tzivoy matches the asiyah, when the commandment matches the action. But if the commandment was to father, and the action is being performed by the moel, the agent, so then there's a disconnect between the command and the action. And then you don't say, if it's Yivano Le, who commanded us to do X, that this action is being performed is not directly what the tzivoy was. I mean, it works because of the mechanism of Shlichus. But that's not, it doesn't matter, there's no match between the command and the asiyah. So far, so good?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes.
Okay, right. So that's what it is. But if your father's doing it, so look, the command was father, circumcise your son, and the father is circumcising his son, so we have a match. That tzivoy is exactly in line with the asiyah. And therefore you say what? Okay? Fine. But if it's not a match, then you could just say, oh, you command us on this institution, and this is one way in which the institution is satisfied, but it's not the exactly as it was commanded. Okay. So now the question is what about when you have doing it for yourself and for others? Okay, so the question is like this: I'm doing an action, right, on behalf of myself and on behalf of others. The question is, was the tzivoy, who is the tzivoy on? Because the asiyah is being done by me, individual guy. And the question is, upon whom is the command? Okay? Upon whom is the command? So I'd say it like this, is that when you have a chova, when you have an obligation, obligations have to devolve upon individuals. Okay? Even though you could say, who's chayiv and shofar? You'll say, all Jewish people, Klal Yisrael, let's say. But Klal Yisrael doesn't get up and blow shofar. An individual who gets up and blows shofar. Okay, so the obligation, so to speak, trickles down to every single individual. If you had an obligation is a call to action by an individual. So an individual is acting, and as far as the individual is acting, so he's commanded to act. I am commanded to listen to shofar, and I am listening to shofar. So therefore I could say, there's a match between the command and the action. Someone say something? Is there a question?
No, there's a little background noise.
Okay, fine. But the thing is like this, is that what about when it comes to, I'm blowing shofar for everybody. And I'm blowing shofar for everybody. See, but I'm not really blowing shofar for everybody. I'm blowing shofar for myself, and I also secondarily have others in mind. Okay? Because since I have an obligation, I am first and foremost called to action that I must act in order to satisfy my obligation. And secondarily, I'm doing it for other people. But I'm really, and if you look at the way that Adam says it, it says in the second half of Halakha, he says, Chovah v'nisgaveh l'hoti atzmo midei chovah. He's doing it in order to accomplish, to remove himself from his obligation. So you have an obligation that you have to remove yourself from, you, right? u'lahotziachayrim, and you're also going to do it for others. Right? So you see, he says there, it's like you're doing it for yourself and also to be motzi others. Right? He doesn't say it like lo di atzma u'lahotziachayrim, but it's like you're really intending to do it yourself and also others. Okay, because primarily when you have an obligation, your action is an action for yourself, which is going to secondarily extend to others. So therefore, the action is an action done by you. The commandment is a commandment which is to you. And therefore, you say that you can say, well.
Okay? Meaning it's just irrelevant that there's other people involved.
Yes, it's irrelevant. They're almost like they're peripheral. Okay? They're peripheral. Okay. So, right, whether there were people there or weren't people there, I don't have to blow shofar anyways. Okay.
Wait, you just did the case of Eino Chova?
What?
You just did Eino Chova or you did Chova?
No, Chova, I just did Chova.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, I just did Chova. Now, if it's Eino Chova, so things like this, so on Erev, right? Now, you'll ask me, on Erev is an institution for a group. The group of the Bnei HaChatzer, the dwellers of the Chatzer. The dwellers of the Chatzer communally, so to speak, own this courtyard. And if they want to carry in this courtyard, then they have to put an Erev. They have to join up. If they don't want to carry, they don't have to join up. So it's an institution which is given to a unit called the Bnei HaChatzer, the dwellers of the courtyard. Now, there's no obligation, so who's obligated? No one's obligated. It's not like I have to do anything. I don't do anything. It's just it's an institution which is given to the unit of the Bnei HaChatzer. Okay, so it's not so to speak the mitzvah, the tzivoy, the commandment is given to the unit of the Bnei HaChatzer. Now, if I act, now obviously the problem is that the unit called the dwellers of the courtyard can't act. A unit can't do an action. The action has to be done by an individual. And it works for everybody. But the action is being done by an individual. But the command is given to the unit of the Bnei HaChatzer. Okay, so you have a disconnect here. The command is really given to the unit, and it's being performed by an individual. Okay, it's not being performed by, he's doing it for them, but he's doing it as an individual. So you have a disconnect. You can't say it's done a little bit, or whatever. Because that would imply that the command, he's doing the action, and the command was to him, the command was not to him. The command is to the unit of the Bnei HaChatzer. So, but if it were the case that it were a chova to do Erev, let's say it were a chova, or an obligation to do Erev, so then, even though it's given to the Bnei HaChatzer, since it's an obligation would trickle down to each individual guy, he'd be obligated to do it. And then, when he would do it, he'd be responding directly, exactly, to the obligation. But again, well, that's when there is a chova. But when there's no chova, then you don't say it's on him. It's really just on, it's for the unit.
That's why
the way he starts off. Asa mitzvah lo u'lachirim kachat. He's doing mitzvah for you and for others together. It means it's not like the second case where it's primarily for you and then also secondarily for others. Lo u'lachirim kachat. It says one unit. You're doing it on behalf of the unit, you and them as one. You're one unit, because the obligation or the institution is an institution to this unit. And that you're just doing it as you're an individual. So therefore, you can't say, the only way you'd be able to say lit is if the unit, so to speak, acted. But the unit can't act. There's no such thing as a unit acting. So you have an individual acting. So therefore, what you're doing does not exactly match up with the chiyuv. If there's a chiyuv, then if you do exactly what the chiyuv is, so to speak, exactly as the command, or whatever, as the mitzvah is, then you say let. But again, here the mitzvah is on the unit, is given to the unit, but the action is being done by an individual, so there's a disconnect, so you can't say let, you have to say out.
But isn't that not because of chova versus eino chova, but because of the communal nature of Erev? Like, let's take mezuzah, which is eino chova. I don't see why chova versus eino chova is going to produce any difference. It's just the fact they're there. It is a singular thing, but you could have, like, let's say the mezuzah is on the chatzer. So I'm chayav myself because I'm a dar in the chatzer, and so is a lot of other people. So when I do it, I'm doing it for me and them. But it's not a communal chiyuv. So, I don't understand, nothing's going to change now between Chov and Enoch. Isn't your thing contingent on the fact that Eruv is communal?
Well, it's partially that it's communal. It does have to be communal, but it also has to be that it's Chova. That is Enoch Chova. Even if it were communal, if it were on everybody for a Chova, then it would trickle down to everybody as a Chiyav.
See, I don't understand that. That's what I don't
get. It has to fall upon an individual. So if it was on the communal unit, but it would trickle down to an obligation on each individual, and then you'd say,
That's what I don't get. Why doesn't it trickle down when it's in a chova?
Because what trickle down? There's no trickling down. There's no obligation.
The institution
just,
of Eruv, what do you mean?
If the unit wants to do it, they can do it. If they don't. It's just an institution on behalf of the courtyard. If the courtyard wants to carry, then they can carry. If they don't care, they don't carry. But an obligation upon who? Who's obligated? You can't say the unit. You can't have an obligation on a unit. Obligation is a call to action.
Wait.
Just saying, there's two kinds of courtyards. There's a courtyard which has an Eruv, and a courtyard which doesn't have an Eruv.
What?
So if the unit, the members of the courtyard want to do this thing, then they could get together.
Okay, I kind of get that, but why can't you have an obligation on a unit? Like, I don't know, Karban Tzibur or something. Like, the Tzibur is the unit that's Chayav. Now, it's granted, there's going to be a Shluchei Tzibur that physically does it, but why does that, you know what I mean?
Well, it depends what you mean by that. Like, if you have a Chayav, like, on Kal Yisrael, which is done through a Bezdin or something, but then essentially the Chayav is on the unit of the Bezdin. You know what I mean? That's like logically it might be on the whole Kal Yisrael. But, I mean, you can't just have, like, a Chayav on a unit. A Chayav on unit is Machayav individual. I mean, you can't have a Chayav which doesn't express itself.
Well, who's Chayav in Tamid? I mean, who's Chayav in Karban Tamid or whatever? And Beis Din is itself not a person, it's a unit. Like, I don't see what that's solving. I mean, the Kohen who brings the Karban Tamid isn't Chayav in Karban Tamid. In fact, you can't say that there's a trickle-down because you can't point to any one person and say that they're Chayav in Karban Tamid. That's not true. That's why I'm just trying to make sure I understand this idea of the trickle-down when it's a Chayav properly, because I feel like that has to do more with the nature of, like the given nature of the communal-ness of whatever halacha or mitzvah you're talking about, and not the distinction between Chova and Eino Chova.
No, but how do you know there's a communism of Chayav and Karban Tamid?
Because I don't think
one guy is doing it, but you know, like if, for instance, if all the Kohanim are there and they all don't act, so who's you saying every Kohen is in Avayim?
No, I'm saying the opposite. No, I'm saying no one was. I'm saying no one was.
They're all sinners.
No, I'm saying none of them are, because the Chiyuv's not on any one of them.
So then it just doesn't have to be a part. Who's going to have to bring it? So no one has to worry. They're going to just sit around and not do it. Who has to act? No one has to act.
I mean, like, for instance, when we were saying this idea of, like, entity, like the bias by Hanukkah, like, I mean, you're right. I guess if none of the B'nai bias lit a Nair, they would each respectively have been Mevatel or Chiyav, but... Can maybe just explain it again. I just want to make sure I understand clearly. Why does it trickle down Chiyav and not trickle down by Enochova?
It's actually a good point, because you could ask questions like, so by Nechanukah, it doesn't seem to obey this rule. I mean, I think that maybe he asks that. Well, not really. But yeah, no, it doesn't obey this rule, because you're doing it for you and for the family. Right? For the unit. Right?
And it's Chova, and you say Le.
No, and it's Chova.
No, so that's good.
Well, that's good, right?
No, that is good.
That's good. Right. So that's fine. That is does very well. No, so what I'm saying is because an obligation, a Chova means it's a call to act. Now, you can't have a call to act. The call to act has to obligate every person in the group. I mean, you can't have a call to act and no one has to act. And there's no such thing as the group has to act. What does that mean? So it means it's a call, like in Nechanukah. So who has to act? I mean, everyone in the house has to act. Now, you could act or you could tell someone else to act, but whatever. It's an obligation on everybody to act. Everyone is mandated to act.
I mean, isn't a mezuzah a call to action? But that's an Eino Chova.
Good question. What does Rambam say on the Mitzvah?
Didn't he say... There wasn't that in Halacha Beis, I thought?
Yeah, it says you say Le, right?
Yeah.
So, but what about if you're doing it for your household?
Right.
What about if you're doing it for your household? What happens? Right, I mean, that's usually the way it works. You have a household, and everyone presumes they all people live in the house of five, right?
Right.
But I don't think he says, oh, if you're doing it for your household.
Right.
Good question. Islam is a question. I mean, I'm not saying, you know. That doesn't exactly.
That's why I'm saying it seems like your idea of the trickle down versus not seems contingent on the fact that Erev's nature is like really voluntary. Like you really don't have to do anything. But that's not the Rambam's distinction between Chova and Eino Chova.
Well, if it does, then by that logic, then you should say by selling them as if it doesn't fit his rule. I'm just saying. And still, he's saying that I'm saying, but I'm saying the Rambam's saying that also. Right, I mean, isn't that true? I mean, what happens when it is though?
Right.
I think, I mean, I know it's a little bit of a problem, but I mean, isn't that true?
Isn't what true?
That the course of the Rama, by Mezuzah, that even though it's filled in the Dina, when Mezuzah is in a Chova, it is a Chova in that regard. I mean, it comes on the Chova in this regard, because if you have one person does it for the entire household...
Right, but doesn't he say explicitly it's Eino Chova?
I know, so it's a problem, right? So it's a problem, right?
Oh, okay, so you're just saying that's a question on him.
Yeah, but I'm saying is apparently it doesn't mean the whole category Eino Chova. It really means Eino Chova, not Eino Chova.
Like real Eino Chova.
You're saying I'm saying.
Right, okay, I understand. So when you're saying that the reason the trickle-down won't occur in Eino Chova is because no one's chayev.
Exactly, no one's chayev. Just no one's chayev, so therefore, what do you mean, trickle down? It just says.
But according to that, why should I say le even? But according
is that they have a right to carry if there is an Erev in the courtyard, then they have a right to carry. If there is no Erev in the courtyard, they don't have a right to carry.
According to that, wouldn't you not say le even if you were doing it only for yourself by this kind of real Eino Chova? Like if you were putting up an Erev only for yourself,
yeah.
Wouldn't you still not say le according to this? Because there's no matchup between the Tzivoy and the Asiya because there is no Tzivoy.
Well, that's a different question. That's the question. I think that's what Obama means. And then there's one of his exceptions, that if it's something which is very stuff, so then you don't, then you can't say it because there's no tzibay, right? And that's one of his exceptions. That's shchita, right? Like in shchita, it's very stuff. It's totally optional. Since it's totally optional, therefore you can't, even though you're doing it for yourself, you have to say, oh, because there's no tzibay, really. So it implies like there's a tzibay when you say le. But there's no real, right? That's
right.
What you're asking. So they're saying this, but apparently Erev, that's the question, is why is an Erev the same as that? Why is an Erev?
Right, why is it by Erev only when you're doing it for yourself and others?
Right, apparently Erev is not 100% Kedivrei Rishus. It's not 100% optional. Apparently there's some sort of PM or something like that. Like, it's a good idea or whatever, but it's just not a Chova. But I mean, by Shchita or something, there's no, you know. I mean, we have to get to that. What exactly is the difference between Erev and not? But, you know, Erev and this other thing.
Right,
you
okay.
That's a good question, but Rambam has that. I'm just saying that Erev doesn't fit that for some reason.
Right.
It's not as optional as you think.
Right. No, I hear. Okay, so I think I understand. Thanks.
I mean, it's a good question. I mean, it does sound. I don't think Rambam says that anywhere, that if you put up an Erev for you and put up a mezuzah. I mean, that's the question. That was the question I was looking for. For the answer to your entire household. I don't think he says that you don't,
Hello?
Hey, Yehuda.
Wait, Rafael, one second. There's a mix up. One second here.
Well, say no if you're not. Okay, so, well, I see the wrong one. He before you make the bracha, b'zavat, and alchos, shalom, b'zavat, b'tavra. Hey, Zion, he says, kodzim shikvenu, b'zavat, pesach, m'vach, tila, shaykh, shalom, tzano, l'gval, b'zavat. She just says to make the bracha to hang a b'zavat. And then he says, doesn't say anywhere about al. And then he says, everyone chayv, b'zavat, even women and servants, and even do chinas for katah, for kids to do it. So, I mean, it doesn't sound... I mean, the only thing is you could argue that the Baal Bayis is obligated. But, I mean, he's doing it for everyone. Like, let's say the Baal Bayis decides not to do it.
Right.
So, I mean, the wife has to do it, the son, whatever. I mean, you got to do it, no? So, presumably, you're doing it for everybody. It's an obligation on everybody. But I'd say that since it's clear, that's a different kind of Enochova. That's an Enochova where the situation sets up the chiyuv. But once you have the situation of a hell, there is a chiyuv. In that regard, that would be like a chova.
It would be.
Trickle down on every individual. But in Erev, there really is no situation like that. It's not like if you have a courtyard, then you're obligated to make an Erev that you just don't have to carry. You know? So it's really in a chova.
So are you saying now that there are three levels, or four levels? There's pure chova like lulav. There's the chova of mezuzah, which is conditional but still chova. Then there's something like Erev, and then there's something like shchita?
Yes, and that's what we have to define. What's the difference between Erev? Why is an Erev really just like Shlita? That if you want meat, then you could shop it. If you don't want meat, you don't shop it. Or if you want Erev, if you want to carry, then do an Erev. If you don't want to carry, don't do an Erev. And it sounds like those are the same thing. I mean, that's why I think it's important to figure out what kind of Erev he's talking about. That's why I mentioned the three kinds of Erev. Erev Tashem, Erev Tateros, and Erev Tchumim. But that's what we have to figure out. Which one is this, and why is it different than these other like Shlita? Which is totally optional. Right?
Yeah.
It's a good question. I hear what you're asking. What was the other example of the one which is in Chova originally? His name is Zuzza and Naka, right? If you put like a fence on the roof, I think, right?
Right.
That was originally, I think, a second example. Let's see that one second. Naka. Yeah. You say, I mean, presumably with a Naka also. I don't know what he says. I'll see his mock out. That's interesting. But if you do it for someone else, if you do it for yourself, then you say, I'll show you something that's done to watch his mock out. Yeah, but aren't you doing it for you and your household and your members of your household? But I would say that's because it trickles down to every individual. That's Machayev. Even though he's in a chob, I understand. I guess he's not using in a chob in the same way.
Seems like you have to say that.
But I mean, it seems to be the fact. You know? The thing is, by Erev, it's simply the mitzvah, or the institution of Erev is that if the B'nai HaChatzer want to join together and carry, then they could. That is on the unit of the B'nai HaChatzer. And who does it? It's done by an individual. So again, there's a disconnect between the Gavra of the mitzvah. The Gavra of the mitzvah is really the unit of the B'nai HaChatzer, and it's performed, the action is performed by an individual. One individual who's doing it. So there's a disconnect. So you can't say it's based on the list. Kind of to do so and so because no, the mitzvah really is for the unit and you're just an individual. So once it's a chova, once it's an obligation, that forces every individual has back. Now you could, unless someone else does it, but every individual has an obligation back. So whenever that one individual acts, even if he's building for others as well, and that one individual acts, then he's acting on an obligation. The obligation was on you. You are commanded and you are acting. It was fine. Is there a question?
I have a separate question.
Separate, okay.
Yeah, what... Do you feel that you would need to explain a sense of the original idea you gave for matching up the Asiya to the Tzivoy?
Oh, yeah, but I think it makes very good sense, because that's the idea. You're saying is that you commanded us to do, right, and you're about to do a mitzvah. And you're saying this person a mitzvah, and you're doing a mitzvah. So if you commanded us to do blank, and then you do blank, you're implying this is what you commanded us to do. So if it doesn't match up, then it's like a false implication. You commanded us to do this, and then the mole does it. I mean, but that's not what you commanded us to do.
Meaning the Rambam system is not, of rules for brachos, is not concerned with, like, revealing the nature of a mitzvah. It's simply concerned with being accurate.
Yeah, it's very simple. It's a very simple system. to command it off to do blank, blank. Now, if they match up, then you can say left. But if it doesn't match up, then heck, you say left. Then you have to say command up on the institution and undo this action, which means this action is part of that institution, which is true. But if you're saying two, then it's, it's a very simple rule. It almost doesn't need explanation. It's just plain. But it's not trying to show the Kedusha. It's not trying to show that. It's just simply, what are you saying, and does this add up?
Right.
Right, it's really like the implication. Right. I mean, the only thing is that, I think what we have to do now is we're going to have to understand the exceptions. I mean, what you said before about Shlita, even though I was explaining it, it's not so simple because in the mitzvah, we call Shlita a mitzvah. And it's a mitzvah means it's not exactly an obligation. It just means if you want to eat meat, then, I guess that's what we have to explain. I guess that's the next thing we have to do. Is there's three exceptions here. How do these three exceptions fit into his formula? Okay? The lulav, right, the past present one. Then he has these things which are like chova, which I guess you have to explain. I think we should explain the chova thing, what exactly this thing of like rishus is, what exactly the sense to this exception is. I think we should leave the Erev problem a little bit, because I think we're going to have to look into Erev a little bit in order to figure out, which Erev he's talking about and what exactly, why it's not exactly the rishus. And then the Bedika question, which I think we have to look into, or the figures about the Bedika in order to answer that. I think we have to look at the Rambam by Bedika to answer that question. So the Rambam by Bedika, let me just tell you the source for that. Because that's the third exception of Bedika. So, the Lulav one, I think we're already a little bit familiar with.
It's Perek Beis, right, for Bedika?
What?
Bedika's Perek Beis, right?
One second. Did he kind of, there's a specific halacha that he's referring to here. One second here. This is, Chametzu Masa, Perek Beis, yes, halacha Beis and Gemma. Okay, halacha Beis and Gemma. You'll see, the problem is he's making a claim which is not quite in the Rambam. You have to look at it there. But he's saying is that the second you, have in mind to do the Bedika, it's like you're ready to fulfill the mitzvah. You have to look and see. He's saying, like I explained over there, but you have to look over there and try to find it. It's not simple. It's not simple how it's there. Okay? So that's all this. So maybe we'll stop here, but that's all this. Tomorrow, hopefully tomorrow will be good. So we'll do try to understand these exceptions. Okay? Try to figure out what these sense to each of these three exceptions are, and how do exceptions find their place in the Rambam system. You know what I mean? How exactly they jive.
Right.
Okay. Is there a question?
No.
Okay, so maybe we'll stop you there.
Okay, so...